everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 434. Welcome back to the only show on the internet that's got three A's in it, and we talk about Android apps and stuff. I'm pretty sure that's the one. We're the only one. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and you guys are here really to hear from your friends and mine, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. It's summertime, Mark. You feel it?
I do feel it, yes.
Well, I'm sure he feels it, yes. And I know where I'm at, it went straight from first beginning of spring, like one day's worth of spring straight into summer, so I can only imagine how short springtime was in Georgia.
Well, you know, I say all the time, when I moved here to Hotlanta, and like the hottest summer day is about 98, I tell them, we have a word for that in Texas where I'm from. It's called spring.
Spring.
So I don't, it's really humid Atlanta. It's wet Atlanta is what it is. Today was the first day the humidity was under about 90%, and it feels positively balmy today. It's wonderful.
So, well, that's the thing. You know, you're in the middle of physically moving a majority of your goods out of your house into another house in the disgusting stickiness. You got your phone like right on your hip, right? You know, just in case, you know, right?
I do have a non-tech, I guess it's a different, it's a textile tech, tip for that. On a whim, I was at the Home Depot store, because once you buy a house, you get a permanent membership to Home Depot. And I saw one of those microfiber headband do-rag things there, I bought one just out of on a whim. It's called the Arctic Cove. I'm sure there's a bunch of different ones, mainly I bought it just to kind of keep the sweat out of my eyes, because, you know, the forehead sweats. Those things are amazing. The evaporative cooling, you know, you're supposed to wet it, and then as it evaporates, it gets cool. But I just put it on dry and my own sweat wets it, and it actually feels cold. Like, I got uncomfortably cold with it on my head. It was evaporating the lowering the temperature so well that my forehead felt cold.
Wow. Well, is that the one that you're supposed to first wet and then snap?
Wet and then snap, yes.
Yeah, yes. I love that gimmick.
And I'm sure all the snapping does is start the evaporation, right? You're moving it through the air. You could fling it. You could do anything. Right. But if you're a skeptic, they're expensive. It's $25 for a headband, so it's not. But for me, it was totally worth it. I usually wear a hat when I'm out and about, but I've started wearing this thing. I look like, you know, some sort of reject from Sons of Anarchy, but I don't care. It works, and it keeps me demonstrably cooler. I feel much more comfortable.
So in Texas, do they not have the heat index on the weather report?
Sure.
Okay. Because that's the big thing. We're going to have a heat index of 105 this weekend, when it's actually going to be 95 or 98 or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure Mark's heat index there goes up to at least the 112s, 115s.
We're in Texas. Oh, no, yeah.
In Atlanta. Up to like 120s.
In Atlanta, I could see that. I didn't know if it was...
Honestly, I don't ever pay attention to it. Out in West Texas, where you're in the desert, there is no heat index because there's no humidity. And, you know, it's 105, and it actually feels quite comfortable. it's a weird feeling. You don't sweat because you are sweating, but it's evaporating the second it breaks through your skin. So you don't get wet, and you feel, you know, I'm fine. And then you pass out from heat exhaustion, but you didn't know that you were hot.
Right. Really quick, I will say, I put out a half episode last week, guys. 433.5. It was called Uninstall Apps Now. It was from a Make Use Of article, where they basically went through what they believe are 10 things you need to uninstall from your Android device right now. I mostly agreed completely with everything they said. And I highly encourage people, go take a look at that show. Take a look at the notes from the show, copy the notes from that show, keep it on your person. And when you come across family members or friends with an Android device that says it isn't acting right, say, let me see that phone. And then you compare the apps. And if you see those apps on people's phones, I guarantee if you take them off, they will see better results.
I agree. I was listening to that episode as I was moving furniture, and I thought, yeah, I agree with that, Dor. That's all good stuff. It's good when you read an article on the web that actually has useful information in it. Doesn't happen all the time.
No, it doesn't. That's the primary reason when, as soon as I read it, I said, more people need to know about this.
Well, I just wanted to take a brief personal moment. You know, I've been gone a couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, One of my very best friends lost his 8-year battle with cancer. So I drove back to Texas for the funeral. That's why I wasn't here. And then last week, I actually had to work late. I had pulled one of the rare evening shifts at my job, and so I wasn't here. So it's good to be back, except I'm leaving you again. This will be my last show for a while. As we've already mentioned, I am moving. I bought a new house. I've been renting for the last 4 years since I moved to Atlanta. We bought a house, and so shortly after this show is over, I will begin striking the studio and packing things up. So I'm not sure how long I'll be away, a few weeks at least, until I get everything sorted out. The internet has already been set up at the new place. Sadly, it's Comcast. They're the only people that service me. And we'll be cutting it off here. So I'm not sure what the how long I'll actually be offline, but I will be back because I like being here. But I appreciate your indulgence, and you guys do a great job without me. But I hope you at least miss me a little.
Yeah, we will, a little bit.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting if you're away any shorter than a month, you've really got the itch, because with, you know, almost a soccer team full of people in a house, to take less than 3 weeks to get mildly settled is amazing, and you work your butt off. So I firmly expect it's going to be a month and a week at least until you finally look around and you start seeing, oh, there's some clutter over there. I remember what that used to look like.
Yeah, that stack of stuff over there.
Yeah.
If you let it go and it comes back, it was meant to be.
There you go.
Yeah.
So with that, you guys read all the emails last week, so that's kind of my one job. And I don't have it, so I guess we should just talk about some apps. Eric,
blame Eric.
Kick us off.
I'm still logging into the website. We'll start with Tor because I'm not quite logged in yet into the chat. Live chat for anybody who.
Oh, I forgot to log in there. I shall do that too.
Yeah. See.
Okay. Then the app I'm bringing is called T-Mobile Tuesdays. Obviously, and I'm sorry to use that word almost sarcastically. Obviously, you have to be a T-Mobile customer in order to use this app. It is a frankly, disgustingly ugly app that reminds me of 1994 websites. But it has a purpose. That purpose is once a week on Tuesdays, starting Tuesdays, and it's not like Tuesday 6 a.m. either. It's Tuesday like noon. It's like some weird, weird time of the day. You start getting free promotional opportunities. There's some stupid wheel. If you spin the wheel, make the deal, you can win free movie tickets, free Warcraft crap was on the first one. Or you could just ignore that and just drop down to the deals. First week, the deals were you could get a free milkshake or Frosty from Wendy's fast food joint. You could get a free Domino's, I think it was medium two-topping pizza, or as we call it, garbage. or you could get a $5, I believe it was a $5.50 credit to a Vudu account, V-U-D-U. I know multiple people that cashed in on multiple items, so it wasn't like you only got one of them. I know people that got the Frosty and the pizza, or the pizza and the movie, so you can get them both. I did the Vudu, and I let the kids watch Zootopia the other day. And I'm just going to say, their portrayal of government employees is not completely off.
Yeah.
But with that said, let's move on. This is the kind of app where if I was in my 20s, I would be abusing the crap out of this app. This app would become part of my lifestyle near immediately.
So do you have I know you say you have to be a T-Mobile customer, but does that mean the app just won't run if you're not on T-Mobile? How does it work for only T-Mobile? How do they know?
Well, first thing you got to do when you launch the app is you have to tell them what your phone number is. Now, technically, it's only going to work for one T-Mobile phone number at a time. So hypothetically, your brother-in-law could have T-Mobile and say to you, I'm never going to use this app. Okay, fine. Do me a favor. You're going to get a text message here in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Tell me the code off that text message. And then you type into the app, and then voila, you have yourself a T-Mobile, possibly Taco Tuesday thing going on.
Because around here, we refer to it as T-Maybe. The service is not awesome.
Right. Well, I'll say this. Where I'm getting good service, I'm getting 25 plus megs down. I'm getting really good service. Where I'm not getting good service, I turn to my wife and say, hey, can you look this up on your phone? Because it's really like edge speed bad. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that I hope encourages other people to just at least try, because if you want, you can contact T, the mobile, tell them you want to try their service out. They will send you in the mail, like an iPhone 5 in the mail for free that you can use for 30 days and test out their network.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, they'll all do something to, you know, try to get you over. So if you want to give them a try, it is free to try to do that. And you can probably take advantage of a couple of T-Mobile Tuesdays while you're at it.
I bought a SIM at Walmart. You can get a prepaid SIM for $20, and it comes with unlimited service for a month. And that's I was going to try to make the switch, but just no go in this area.
Well, I'm just going to say, $20 a month, technically you could break even, and every month, every week, you could maybe get a Vudu $5 credit. So just technically, you can make it a break even.
So you're saying this app is good enough to make it worth being a T-Mobile customer just for the T-Mobile Tuesdays?
Especially if you like Domino's.
Especially if you love Domino's. Depending on your use case, like if you have to be able to stream the 2,000-year-old man with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner wherever you go, well, then you might need to stick with Verizon or something. Hi, Danny. Do you want to say hi real quick? Just say hi.
Hi.
Now you got to go to bed. Give me a kiss. Got to go to bed. I love you.
Every kid has to grab the microphone. It's just something about kiddom.
Well, no, it's exactly like how kids walk up to people when they're talking on a phone and just ignore the fact they're on the phone, saying, like, when I tell my son to talk into the phone, he must hold the phone right up against his face. No. Sound travels, dude, just because you can't see it. Hold the phone away from your face. So every time he wants to talk on the mic, he feels like he has to take the mic and push it up against his face.
All right.
God bless him. And he's been better at school, so I'm not mad at him.
Well, hey, I got some some good carrier news this week, too. Since I made the switch from US Cellular to Google Fi, my Google Fi works okay here. Sometimes I don't get calls, which is fine because I really don't like taking calls anyway. But Google just made the deal with US Cellular. So the one service that works really well here is going to be within, it's rolling it out through the next couple weeks, will now be one of my networks. So I'll have T-Mobile, Sprint, and US Cellular as my network. So it'll work not only here, but everywhere, where US Cellular only worked here, and I'm still only paying $30 a month, which I do like. So I'm happy about that. Thank you, Google, and attaboy, US Cellular, for doing something good there.
Yeah, so it's US Cellular, Sprint, and T-Mobile combined. So if you get any one or two of those carriers good in your area, Project Fi just became even more of an option for you. And here's the logic, and Eric knows this, it's only going to expand. You know, I don't see it shrinking.
No.
If it goes in cold water.
I just couldn't. I went out of town enough, and I needed my phone when I left town enough that I had to do something. And that was really good timing on Google's part to start this up.
All right, Eric, do you have an app for us?
I do. I've got an app for Door.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you better run and hide, Door. This one is... It's okay, I'm gonna paste it in here so you guys can see the link. This is the OnePlus 3 launch, the Loop app. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, Dor. I installed this on my phone, thinking it was some kind of interactive VR experience unlike any other, as it says in the description of this app. When I put it on my phone, all I see is a countdown timer with about 4 days and some hours left, and a floating plus sign satellite whizzes by, and it's just like an outer space scene. That's it. Just a countdown timer on a black field of stars. But that'll let you know that your OnePlus 3 will be launching soon.
For their OnePlus 2 launch, they did the whole VR thing, so, you know, 7 people in the world could watch it.
Right. Well, the part of the gimmick is here is the OnePlus 1, rave reviews, good numbers, good appeal, good everything. OnePlus X, didn't really do too great. OnePlus 2... Okay, well, and people are really complaining about the loss of NFC, which I don't know why. This app is for the launch of OnePlus 3, so it does nothing until the launch of OnePlus 3, and it's a promotional app that when the phone does go live, that's where they're going to announce it formally with all the specs, and you'll be able to buy the phone. People who have that app will have first dibs on the phone. There's no more waiting list. There's no more invite system. Nothing. You just buy the phone. But if you have the VR app, you can buy it first. Mm. And the phone is rumored to have two versions. The low-end version is supposed to have 4 gigs of RAM, and the high-end version of the phone is supposed to have 6 gigs of RAM. And I'm going to tell everybody very clearly, and all of a sudden I'm speaking like Dusty Rhodes, that if that phone comes out and it has 6 gigs of RAM, I cannot see myself not buying it. If it, I mean, decent screen, decent fingerprint reader, I don't see myself not getting it.
Yeah, it's future-proofed for a while, you know.
Well, yes, and I believe the starting price for the low-end version was $425. For the high-end version, might have been $470.
Oh, well, that's...
The problem they face is the problem that a lot of people face, is their biggest competition is their previous product. The OnePlus One is still a flagship quality phone. It's, you know, it's lagging a little, but my wife still has it. I know you still have it, and it would take, if you're buying the OnePlus 3, it's not because you need a phone. It's just because you want another one. It's gadget lust that's going to make you buy it, not the fact that your OnePlus One isn't a good phone anymore.
Right, and one of the biggest questions that the technorati, the journalists, make believing like they really use phones, their only real concern, it seems like right now, is this going to be daydream ready? To which, to me, it's like asking, is it Y2K ready? You know what I mean? Don't care. That has absolutely zero to do with anything in my decision of any product moving forward. My logic is, if I do get a quote-unquote a device to do daydream, it's going to be a dedicated device to do daydream. I don't want to tell somebody, oh, you got to stop your game. Grandma's calling. You know, no, I don't think so.
Well, as of this recording right now, you got 4 days, 14 hours, and 52 minutes, and 34 seconds. I do like the way the numbers switch from number to number. It's like a morphing from each number to the next. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's the review of the app, the numbers. Yep. The animation is cool.
Animated morphing numbers for the win.
All right. I have something I'm going to sneak in because it's kind of an app, but not really. As I was telling the guys before the show, I called today and canceled my Dish Network service. I've been a Dish Network customer for 15 years.
Ooh.
Since 1991, 2001, I've been a Dish customer. And I cut the cord because there's so many things available online now. I've been paying Dish $100 plus a month, every month. I think currently it's like $116. It fluctuates here and there. To watch essentially Disney and Food Network and the Travel Channel, and that's it. And so I cut the cord. And, you know, the reason I feel confident in doing that is I live in a metro area and I can get all kinds of HD over the air. So all the regular CBS, NBC stuff I can get over the air. And the Sling app, which is available on Android and on the Roku and everything else. If you haven't checked that out, I highly encourage you to. It is, in fact, owned by Dish. So I'm still a Dish customer by using that. But it's the a la carte cord cutter's dream, where your basic package is $20 a month, and it gives you lots of neat stuff. And for $5 a month more, you can add on the kids package, for example, that has Disney and Nick Jr. and all that. And then for another $5, you can add on the lifestyle package that has home shopping and home improvement and home and garden and all that sort of stuff, Food Network. So for $30 a month, I'm going to get everything I watch, as opposed to $120 a month to get everything I watch plus a bunch of other stuff. Now, the downside of that is only one stream at a time. So I can't watch Food Network while my kids are watching Disney Channel upstairs. But the fact is that doesn't happen very often. We're a one TV family. We have more than one TV, but we pretty much just watch one at a time. And even if I didn't like that, I could buy two subscriptions for $40 and still save money.
Well, let's first not pretend. He who controls the bits in the house will watch what he wants to watch.
Of course.
Yes.
So that's my app. I haven't actually put it to the torture test yet. They have a 7-day free trial, so you literally have nothing to lose by trying it. But I am so confident in that offering and in the I bought a TiVo Romeo. It's a hardware device that can store up to 450 hours of over-the-air stuff. And it's expensive. It's like $600. But in 6 months, I make money on the deal. So that's my experiment that I will tell you more about. But I wanted to let people know Sling has been around a while. I think it's getting over some of his growing pains. And it's just to the point now where I'm ready to take the plunge and ready to recommend that you do too.
Yeah. I'll say on the internet, people talk poorly about things frequently. People rarely talk good about things, but to talk bad is everywhere. I have not heard anybody speak poorly about this app. I've heard a couple people say how it worked and it worked well kind of thing. But I will say in the screenshots, the Property Brothers are maybe the two creepiest people I think I've seen on television since Herman Munster, maybe.
Really? Why?
They just look creepy.
You don't watch that show?
It looks like their beards are fake. It looks like they literally paint them on with mascara.
They're like life-size Ken dolls.
Yeah. Man, I just got the heebie-jeebies. There is little doubt in my mind this app can satisfy easy 30% of the people's needs. I just don't think that they know about it. And I am literally genuinely excited to hear how it works for you, Mark, because we all know these prices that cable providers are like charging and satellite people are charging are astronomical, period. So $30 a month ain't bad.
Right. And I don't need the 40 channels of music and the 16 channels of world sports and the 53 channels of pay-per-view at $9 a piece. I maybe 15 years ago, those things had value. But now when I want music, I go to Pandora. And when I want pay-per-view, I go to Netflix or Google Play. So I just the time has come and gone for the all-encompassing, all-you-can-eat buffet of television. And it's time to bring back the a la carte stuff. So if you don't live in a metro area and you can't get the networks, that's a problem. For people, but there's just so much stuff now available. Like for example, on the Disney thing, you can watch live, but you can't record. There's no DVR function. One of my kids' favorite shows is Girl Meets World. If you ever watched Boy Meets World, it's sort of the sequel to that. It's a good show, good family show. We all like to watch it. But it would be appointment viewing. When it's on, it's on. Or I go to Google Play, and for $23, I bought the whole season, and now I can do everything I want. So I can do, at $30 a month for the Sling service, minus $120 that I was paying for Dish, I can buy 6 seasons of something a month and still make money on the deal.
And see, the good thing about that is, today, with your current systems, if hypothetically my wife wants to go watch the back catalog of X show, the interface, even if it's available, the interface on these set-top boxes provided by the companies is unbelievably vast backwards. Obviously, it was made by an engineer is the word I'm going to use, because it is a piece of crap. It takes forever to go through. And then once you're done watching a show, most of the time you got to go back through the whole damn thing again just to go back to the next show. So I love the idea of buying a whole series and then just basically you it's very easy to gorge, bang, 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 and just go right through every show.
Yeah, so I bought the current seasons. Each week when that show is out, it'll just show up in my Google Play catalog and just, not issue.
Yeah, that's nice. Hey,
smart.
Can I ask you, if you want to give it up, what does Comcast charge in your area for internet only?
Well, I will tell you, because I called up and I said, I need the best upstream you can give me, because I podcast. And the two high-end packages, they were three, actually. The really top high-end package was like $1,000 a month. And so I said, next. The next one was 150 megs down, 50 up. No, 25 up. 150 down, 25 up. For a year, it was $99. After the end of the year, it goes up to $120.
I know. Isn't that? See,
The next step down was 75 megs down, 20 megs up, and it was $40 a month for a year, and after that, it goes up to $70 a month, $69. Okay. Now, I was paying $69 now for my AT&T U-verse, but I got everything hooked up. I bought my own modem. I didn't get them to give me a modem, and I hooked everything up, did a speed test, and I'm getting 30 down. So I'm paying for 150 and getting 30.
Okay. Can I ask which service are you using to test your speed?
I tried several of them. I did speedof.me. I did speedtest.net. I did the Netflix one, and they all showed the same story.
Yeah, because that Netflix one, my logic is, I believe it's just speed.net. If anybody is going to be slowed down during a speed test, it's going to be Netflix. Speed.net? Oh, man, I can't remember what it was called.
Fast.com.
Fast.com. Thank you, sir. If anybody is going to be throttled and slowed down, it's going to be a Netflix server. There's no doubt in my mind. Because knowing Netflix, knowing the way they do their stuff, they're going to literally intermingle this server in the middle of a streaming server. So it'll be very difficult for a provider to say, okay, don't give the movies full speed, but give the test full speed. You know what I mean? It's like when I do it right now, even when I'm on the show, I'm getting 77 megs, which, you know, I kind of like.
Man, I would have them come up before you get all moved in there. I'd have them come over and check for squirrel damage to your line coming in, Mark.
When I first hooked everything up, it didn't work. I got no signal at all. And the guy said, well, your router must be bad. Just take it back and get another one. And I was like, really? So I went outside and I opened the box hanging on the back of the house, and it was disconnected to the box. So I plugged it in and bang, everything started working. So yeah, I think it's highly possible that I've got some bad wiring or something. But again, I just hooked it up, did a quick speed test, and I haven't lived with it. That could have been just been that day. I don't know. But yeah, if it's consistently bad, I will definitely have one of their engineers come out and look at it.
Well, and like, you know, time of day is very important too. So can I ask what time of day did you do it about?
It was like 9 a.m.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, if you said you did that at 6 p.m. at night, that gets a clap. That's good speed.
Right.
Yeah. I pay $85 for everything through Comcast for the next 2 years. So it's still unbelievably high. If I want internet only, it's like $80. I'd like to cut the cord, but it's cheaper to have the channels with the internet for me than it is without the channel. It's just weird.
That's true. They do make that kind of deal where it actually costs less for TV, but I wouldn't even let him do that. I don't want TV, don't want phone, internet.
Good man.
Well, at least you live in a big metropolitan area that may be getting, you know, some kind of a fiber at some point in your lifetime.
Yeah,
you know.
Google Fiber comes to like 20 miles away from me. They're bringing a city to Smyrna, Georgia. It's not there yet. But they're forcing other people to pay attention. Like, for example, Comcast offered that one that I told you was $1,000 a month was a gigabit. They didn't offer that before, but Google has forced them to do that. And I only good things can come from that in the future. Maybe someday I'll be able to afford it.
I wonder if property values are higher in Smyrna because of that, or will be.
So. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Did you check out houses there just to compare?
Smyrna is not a place for people with kids. So it's already an upscale place.
So there's a lot of like two-seater sports cars.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Sorry to hijack that with TV talk, but it also was an app. So now it's back to you, Dor.
Okay. The app I'm going to bring is actually a suite of apps. And when I say a suite of apps, if you go on the app and then click the name SoftMaker Software GmbH, which is the Great Britain company thing. It's a suite of apps that say they have, and I can't remember the verbiage they use. I want to say perfect, but it wasn't the word perfect. Open, save, seamless, works, exact drop-in replacement for Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, PowerPoint, and something else. And no other app I've ever seen makes the claim that it will work perfectly. They say it's compatible, which they all are compatible, but then typically when you save and you look at it, the app in a different interface where you save the Word doc, send it back to a guy using Word, it doesn't open up right. These guys try to pitch that they can. They have a free text tool, a paid text tool, a plan maker mobile, which I think it's more of a project type tool. They have a free version and a paid version. They have a presentation tool, a free and a paid version. They have a Office HD, where that's if you need the higher end features and functions in a text editor. And with that, I'll say we as Word users, Microsoft Word users, have not even used on average more than I think it was 8% of the features of Microsoft Word since Office 97. So nobody needs the full version of Office. We just need a subset of features. So if their normal text editor, free Office Text Maker Mobile, fits the bill, it fits the bill. If not, you can get the upgraded version for, I think it's $6, Office HD Text Maker Full. I love competition. I've said that many times. And I will say on my Jide Ultra, I liked this look and feel, actually. It was a little bit big, is the way I'll put it, where you have your big icons on the bottom to do your quick editing, saving, text formatting. It was very easy to do things like create tables, bold, italic, search and replace. Very easy to open up remote things with the paid version, I believe it was, to go to Dropbox, Evernote, Google Drive, OneDrive, stuff like that. I honestly think they're on to a good product here, but it is, I think, very new.
If you fall in love with it, you can go to softmaker.com, and they have Windows and Linux versions for desktop as well.
Oh, that's good.
So it's pricey. It's anywhere between $60 and $120, depending on what you buy. But, you know, if it's truly better, then it may be worth it.
Well, if the me from 3 or 4 or 5 years ago would have heard me say this today, I would have questioned a lot of, like, who is that guy? Is he on drugs? Does he all of a sudden like gin or something like that? If I pay for something, I know from a security standpoint, I'm going to at least, the company's going to be more encouraged to give me updates. And that's just a fact, because I know it. If you go to Patreon and say, hey, Dor, here's $2 a month, do me a favor, can you stop smacking your lips as much? I'm going to make a conscious effort to stop smacking my lips more than I already am. So I'm a firm believer in, if somebody's offering you something really good and they have an upgraded version, give it a serious thought. Give it serious consideration. I'm not saying do it, but give it serious consideration.
I went to the SoftMaker website, and to see Thunderbird is there. That was the Mozilla email client, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's owned by SoftMaker now. I was surprised to see that.
It's also free for teachers or schools.
Thunderbird 45.1. It's been upgraded a couple times. You know, they got some stiff competition. They're in a market where Microsoft owns the whole market. I give them an attaboy for trying.
Right.
You know, it's tough.
I believe the Thunderbird is literally just a link. I don't think they're selling it.
Well, it says extended and improved by SoftMaker. Thunderbird 45.1 is here.
Mark, does that give you the good feeling?
A new version of Thunderbird has been released. Thunderbird 45.1 not only fixes bugs, but also adds numerous new features.
Yeah, that doesn't give me a good feeling. I don't like when somebody says they're extending software.
There's a reason I gave up Thunderbird. It fell behind. And Google is better. I had a better web experience than a desktop experience. So, you know, I it would have to be way better to get me to go back to that.
Here's a feature that I don't know I've used in Word, if it ever had it, but in the TextMaker mobile app, it does do automatic hyphenation in 33 languages. I don't see Word automatically hyphenating my stuff.
Today when I type touch screen, one of the suggestions was to change it, and you can make it automatically change. But one of the suggestions was to change it from all one word touchscreen to touch dash screen. So it might do some of it.
Maybe
the problem, Eric, is that English isn't one of the languages.
That was when you were using Microsoft Word, Dor?
Oh, at work, yeah.
All right, Eric, next app, please.
Okay. Well, since Dor brought a suite, I'm just going to bring a quick 1-2 punch, and these are of British VR apps. So I was playing with the Google Cardboard a little bit, and my first app is, these are both from the Department of Health in the UK. This one's from the National Autistic Society. It's called Autism TMI, too much information. It's a virtual reality experience which puts you as a small boy with autism dealing with life and your mom at the same time. It's supposed to give you a firsthand example of what having autism may be like for a small child. And
one review, but it's a good one.
And I don't know if you know, if you've got a kid who may have autistic kids in his class, he's making fun of them. Hey, you know, Johnny, don't be making fun of the kid. This is what it's like for him. You could throw the cardboard on his face and say, this is what it's like for Greg over there, so stop it, you know, or something like that. Okay, that's the first one. It's really short. It's a very short film. It just, like, highlights some colors and things, and the kid starts breathing really hard and stuff, and it's different. This is something to check out if you're into it.
Looks brand new. The release date is June 8th, yesterday.
Well, it's pretty new, I would say.
And it doesn't list any downloads, so.
Well, I downloaded it.
Must be super new.
That's a lie. And the one,
I think you have to get to a certain threshold before it lists downloads.
And this next one I'm bringing may be the same way. This is another one from Britain again, and this one is called A Walk Through Dementia. Now, this one has a lot more to it. This gives you a few different scenarios of, but it is like a virtual reality app where you are experiencing dementia in a few different environments of what it may be like for you to have dementia. One of them I think was real video, like the autism one, and two other ones in this were computer animated scenarios that you were in. You were thrown into. It's just this one's got 41 reviews, so this is a little older, I guess. Yeah.
Under 5,000 installs.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this: claiming at any level you can show a quote unquote normal person how it is to be autistic through VR is kind of like trying to describe to somebody with 100% accuracy what the color red is. You can't, because it's all about perception. Because what I compute in my head as being red, if we were able to see inside my brain, you guys might say, well, that's my blue. It's just how the brain perceives stuff. So I'm sure it's going to make you like, whoa. You know, like, it's going to be like a little bit of a shock, and it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, discombobulating kind of thing going on. But I'll say autism is more than just a visual thing.
Oh, and there's so many levels of autism. There's some autism where you have inability to do a lot of things, and you have no feeling of things, and there's other autism that's just slight, you know.
Well, that is one of the problems. The word autism today is like saying, and this is just in, is like saying mentally retarded 40 years ago. It was not even something you could point and say, this is it. It was just a condition that behaviors looked like they could be classified as. Mm-hmm. The second one, A Walk Through Dementia, man, just to try to comprehend how it is to like stand up wherever you're at and start to do something with dementia, that has to be near scary.
Yeah, like, they're both pretty scary. I mean, the dementia actually gives you three way different scenarios and how, you know, three different people with dementia might, you know, feel differently than each other. You know, levels of dementia also. But yeah, those were just a couple I wanted to throw out there. A little something for the VR.
If you're interested, there was a movie by a famous autistic, about a famous autistic person, Temple Grandin. Claire Danes played her. It's available on YouTube for free. Just search Temple Grandin and you'll find it on YouTube, a full hour and 48 minutes.
Yeah.
It's an interesting view inside, because she was one of the first famous verbal autistics. Often autistic people aren't verbal, and so she was able to give the world a view inside that life. So I enjoyed it as a movie and as an experience to broaden my horizons both.
Well, here's the question I got, Mark, because I believe I know the exact piece of content you talk about. After watching that, I understood why. When I was younger, for instance, I would take a blanket, lay it down in my bed, roll myself up like a tight burrito, and put a pillow over top my head to go to sleep. And still to this day, if I take my arms, pull them inside my shirt, not a loose shirt, just a normal shirt, and I feel constricted, restricted, and then I put like a pillow on top of my head with just a little bit of weight on it, I go right to sleep, like in seconds. Where if I just lay in bed with my wife in the bed, I'm there sometimes for an hour, hour and a half, can't go to sleep.
And what you just described, Dor, for me, is the sixth level of hell.
I know what to do with Dor next time we go out to one of these conferences and he has a couple too many golden sodas. He's going to shove his arms in his shirt and then throw somebody on his face. Well, perfect. Thank you, Dor.
Well, because in that movie, that's where she described how to properly kill of a cow.
Right. Yeah. I'm wrong. It's not for free on YouTube. It's $9. It's $10.
Right.
So,
Right. What she was able to convey was if you put this cow in this slightly restricted space, not ridiculously restrictive, but give them the perception as they come into it of it's not too bad. It's not too bad. And then at the last second, you just restrict them from moving. They're in a very calm state before you put them down, where otherwise, when they come around the corner and they're coming over the hill and they can't see stuff, and then they're all of a sudden locked in, they literally panic, freak out.
I've heard that that description before somewhere too.
Yeah, she is fascinating.
She personally revitalized the slaughterhouse industry.
Oh yeah,
her thinking being, it's okay to kill animals to eat them, but we don't have to scare them before we do.
Yeah, well, it's like I hate to say it, the bad treatment of animals in my logic is like with hers. You don't have to make it a near horrific, paralyzing experience. It's like my Marine sniper buddy said. If he shoots a deer from 300 away and the deer doesn't take a step, there's no adrenaline going through the deer. He said he feels like he did the right thing. Where when he was younger and he would shoot a deer and the deer would run for a quarter mile, he said, I put that deer through hell and I did it wrong. And he said that was the main reason I learned how to shoot better, because I did not feel right doing that to an animal. Then he became a Marine sniper. We believe he killed hundreds of people, but... That's for another story.
I will say, if you're ever going to go play paintball with somebody, don't include a sniper in the group. Least fun playing paintball ever in my life.
Well, for you, yes. For him, it's probably fantastic. Oh, yeah,
okay, everybody ready? Whistle blows. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. Okay, next game.
At least you paid by the hour, so that's, you didn't pay by the round. So that's good.
All right, Dor, next up for you, my friend.
Okay, I'm going to bring a game here, and it's because it harkens back. It harkens back to a time when I was younger, my joints weren't falling apart. When I lift my arm, I actually don't hear cuck, 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 and, you know, weird, all these funky noises coming out. And it was a time before a doctor told me when I was 20, oh, that's common in older men. I used to skateboard heavily. I was also the vandalizing skateboarder, but again, that's a different show we're going to do here. This game is just called Skater by the Skater Team. Sports E for Everyone, $4.99 to buy. Okay, because of that, only 650 reviews, only 5,000 to 10,000 downloads. But what I will tell you this is, if you enjoy the mechanics, if you enjoy the physics behind skateboarding, and you were able to do any of these tricks as a kid, I'm not going to say this is realistic or hyper realistic, but this is not. This is closer to being a animated, clearly animated, not real skateboarding simulator. That's fun because there is a little bit of give to it. There's a little bit of, you know, you should have fell, but it's going to let you live kind of thing. But it isn't crazy to where it's like almost hard to fall. And all the places that this has you skate in are real places that people who skated made famous with all kinds of Thrasher videos and Bones Brigade videos back in the day. Going to the different places to me was the most fun, because you're literally like an old skateboarder back in the day. You're exploring, skating, trying tricks. You see something, you see an angle, and then bang, you go try to do a trick. So I thought it was a bunch of fun. $5, but you know.
Yeah, check this out. And even if you're not into skating, you kind of owe it to yourself to watch the video for this app, because the video is a really nice little super mini documentary about a certain place where, you know, these skaters are reminiscing back of who did what and where, you know. Oh yeah, I remember when so and so did this crazy thing at that place. And it's a neat video. It's like it's two minutes and 41 seconds, but it doesn't really, I don't know, it shows some of the gameplay, but it's more of a little homage to really good skaters.
Yeah, and it tries to gain a little bit of credibility by having real skaters in the game and in the video.
Yeah, I've never been into skating. I saw this. I thought, it, you know, for a skating app, it looked really, really good. And if I had any interest in it, I probably would have bought it just because it looked like it was very well made. But I'm glad you enjoy it. It's cool.
See, and here's the thing. This is why you know I suck as a podcaster. I completely missed the near obvious transition from autism to skating because I want to say Mike McGill, but that's not right. Back in the day, he was, let me tell you something. There's nothing normal about this guy, but he was one of the most prolific skaters. I can't remember his name back in the day. He was literally insane. When he was at contests, nobody could talk to him. He could talk to nobody, but everything he did was just like, oh, wow, crap. We can't even do half of that, you know, kind of thing. He did he actually did a TED talk too, because he's gotten a lot better over the years, but.
Yeah, man. like an autistic savant, you know,
he was a savant or something, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he had a real gift.
Man, thank God Sean Johnson ain't here. He'd kill
Rodney Mullen.
Rodney Mullen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Google.
Dude, you just watched 30 seconds of any of that guy's video, and the only thing you think is, if you saw that today, you would think that's special effects. Mm. Because the stuff he did should not be able to do. And nobody ever tried to emulate his tricks because, no, I'm going to, like, break my ankle. I'm not doing that.
Well, there was some pretty good tricks in the video, I thought, but because I've tried to ride a skateboard, I've never even been successful at doing that, even
I'll tell you right now,
6 feet.
You either try it and you like it, or and get hurt, or you try it and you don't like it and you get hurt.
Yep,
that's the only thing, because no matter what, you're going to feel pain. The only question is how much and when.
Yep, and I failed fast on the skateboard.
Well, then you're like the modern CEO in the Silicon Valley. Good job.
Walking across a carpeted floor is enough of a challenge for me. I don't need to put wheels to it. Anything else for you, Mr. Deeney?
Yeah, I got a game. This one is called Lonely One. Lonely One, Hole in One. It's a golfing game, and it kind of looks like a naked guy out on a golfing range. Basically, it's got like the Angry Birds type physics, but everything has to be a hole in one. You don't get a second shot. There's no par or birdies or eagles in this one. It's a hole in one or nothing. And you get three strikes and you're out. You miss getting a hole in one three times, game's over, you get to start over again. If you get it perfectly, if you get it perfectly in the hole in one without touching the ground or anything, just like nothing but net, you get one of your strikes taken away. So you can potentially miss more than three times before it's over.
So next game, you get four?
No, it just takes one of them away. If you had two strikes already, you'd be down to one strike.
So it's not three strikes per hole, it's three strikes per game.
Per game.
Oh!
Yeah, per game.
Oh!
Yes,
yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about the naked-looking guy wearing shorts, wearing like a loincloth vest. Thankfully, you can change the character.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into any of that. You know, I did. I think I made 19 holes before I was done. Is my record so far?
That's good.
Thank you.
I just figured
when I look at the screenshots, they're probably a lot farther than that. You also get coins for getting close to near perfect. But when you do get the perfect ones, like little minions jump up out of the hole and congratulate you, and you know, one of your strikes goes away. It's a fun game for just messing around real quick. If you're really good, I don't know, it could take a while, but didn't for me.
All right. I can't decide whether this is a download or not.
I
like those kind of pullback and physics type games.
And it's not, it's not pullback. It's just make the arc. You just got to, draw. You got to move your finger and then the arc shows.
So there's no power. It's, just angle.
Just angle. Yeah. Yep.
Right. It's actually less interesting to me now that I know that.
Okay. Well, if you use two.
Good try, Eric.
If you mess up your arc, does have a nice thing. If you mess up your arc, you can go to the bottom and it starts you over. That's kind of a nice feature too.
But the fleshy beard Speedo, that may be enough for me to just say no thank you.
All right.
It's weird. Okay, now that I've taken us to that dark place, Dor, have you another app for us, my friend?
Speaking of dark places, this is my dark place, but I had to show this to my kid. I didn't have a choice. It's called Hovercraft Takedown, and I will tell you right now, emphasis on the word craft. Oh. Nudge, no domain. Minecraft-esque, by High Score Hero LLC, Racing E for Everyone, 30,000 reviews on this thing, 4.7 average is the score, between 1 million and 5 million installs. I figured, you know, my son's going to learn about this sooner or later, so it's better he hears it from me. Blocky, horribly looking blocky race cars with horrible blocky things in the road. Some of them you shoot, some of them you pick up. The kid thought it was a blast, is what I used. And there is some sort of crafting building you can do to enhance your vehicle. And every time his brother did something to a vehicle, my oldest just said, "That is so stupid. That doesn't even make any sense." Hello? You're trying to tell me this makes sense? What's wrong with you? But, you know.
Well, if you make it
it's
less
three-dimensional 8-bit. It's odd.
Yeah, it's like the viewpoint is, you know, behind the Razor, like behind the racer, like Cruising USA view, Minecraft, big, huge blocks, shooty, shooty, pick up. I don't know. I don't get it. I'll say that.
Did it steer well? Was it, you know, the physics in the game play well?
I didn't play the damn thing, but my son seemed satisfied with the enjoyment that came out of it. I will say that. I do believe it was just, from the looks of it, how he's playing it, leaning to steer and tapping to shoot.
This would be a good game for the JXT.
I don't know. I just had to bring it because, you know, Minecraft, great, yeah. And by Microsoft, love it.
Was that one by Microsoft?
Yeah, Microsoft bought it.
Oh, right, no, it wasn't by Microsoft.
High Score Hero LLC.
Oh, yeah. But they bought Microsoft. They bought Minecraft, and they are adhering to some of the standards set forth and how things are done. So I got to give them kudos for that, but that's where it ends.
Yeah, give them time. They'll have
They'll ruin it sooner or later.
They'll have little blocks that you can have W's on and, you know, E's on, like Word and Excel.
E's with little loading thing will never stop.
Yeah, little globes. I got one more. Can I just empty my tank? You know, I don't usually bring
I was going to say. Specifically, I was going to say empty the tank. You took the words right out of my mouth. Sorry. Is it a little slobber on it there?
I didn't want to get the cane or whatever that is. It pulled me off the stage.
The hook.
All right. So this is Bushido Bear. By Spry Fox LLC.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
It's a slash game. Basically, you've got your waves of enemies, and you've got these two huge swords sticking out both sides of your bear character, and you just draw your finger along next to the enemies, or where you think they're going to be as they're moving, and slice them in half with your swords, and don't get stabbed by their swords. It's kind of fun.
It's like Fruit Ninja that fights back.
Yeah, kind of. Only you don't go across these enemies. You got to go next to the enemies, because if you go across them, you'll run right into them and they'll kill you.
Bushido is the samurai code, by the way. It's Japanese for way of the warrior.
I thought everyone knew that, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, my job is to bring trivial tidbits to the audience. So, you know, for the one person who didn't know that.
Well, they just scored some points on their next round of Jeopardy. I'll say it's good that the swords are big, and I'm hoping that maybe as the game goes on, you get bigger swords, because if you can't, it's one of those, you can't get too close to the fire, you get burnt, but you gotta get close to the fire, or else it doesn't count.
Yep.
Mechanics, which is good and bad, because all they have to do is have the enemies speed up just a little bit, and the difficulty ramps up incredibly, I'm gonna guess.
I'm not sure I'm getting it from watching the video. I'm not sure I'm understanding the gameplay. You draw a circle, or draw a path, and your sword follows that path?
Your bear, with its swords out, follows that path. And hopefully...
And everybody just stands there and waits for you to kill them?
Well, in some levels, at the beginning, they just stand there. And as you go on, they're moving, you know, as you go through the levels. So you got to kind of anticipate their trajectory, where they're going to be, and... You know, don't steer yourself into their path, but next to it. Yeah, it's a little challenge. See, maybe you'd like this one more because it's got a challenge to it.
And I'm guessing you can't just sit there and wait too long before you move.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's measured, but yeah, you want to.
Is your only move the swipe? You can't go left or right. All you can do is drag the path.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Sometimes you're making a circle. Sometimes you're. You know, make us squiggly. I haven't gotten too far. There may be other weapons down the road, but I've only got swords so far.
I mean, I like the fact that one of the upgrades is called the Meat Quake. I mean,
I would say it's hard to go wrong with the Meat Quake, but I really don't know.
Yeah, so if you want to go defend a forest, it's a good game to do it. And it's not all gory. I mean, you do slice people in half, but there's not blood spurting out and crazy like that.
Yeah.
Does that disappoint you, Eric?
A little bit.
All right, Mr. Geek, empty your tank. Lay it on us.
Well, the quick mention I'm going to give, I'm not going to go into great detail with this app, is Vudu, V-U-D-U. And here's the real reason why I want to talk about this app at all is I have Root. And I was able to watch Zootopia as a rental just fine. Because I swore on my Odroid C1 upstairs on the big screen TV, ain't no way Vudu is going to work. No, I have Root. You know, because I'm a pirate. Of course, I'm a pirate. Oh, can't let a pirate watch it. I started it up, hit Zootopia. Zootopia started right up where I try stuff like HBO Go. Mm. Nope, won't load because it thinks I'm a pirate. So I was happy with that.
Walmart's got the money to let you have it.
I guess.
That's who owns Vudu.
Oh, and I can't believe it works. I said that. It's a very simple app. I basically log in. I click the app in my T-Mobile thing. It redirects me. I log into my Vudu. Bam, I get $5 free cash. The prices don't seem outrageous. They honestly seem normal because I've been seeing a lot of Google Play rental information, and it seems very normal, standard prices. I don't know what this would offer that something else wouldn't offer. You know what I mean? Because the reason to do Netflix is because you get the normal movies and you get Daredevil or Orange is Black or whatever. But if you're just looking for a simple movie rental system, this might be the one.
Orange is the New Black's got a new season coming out in a couple weeks, too, for those fans of that.
So I'm going to throw one out there that I haven't tried, but a friend of mine recommended. It's Android. It's, I think, iOS. There's also web and a Roku, too. I'm not sure. It's called VidAngel. And it's a unique service for those of us who have young children, and not everything is young children friendly. But with VidAngel, you can make it young children friendly. So what happens is you buy the movie for $20 and it's yours. It's streaming. You own it now. But before you play it, you can go in and list the things that you don't want to see. List the words that you want bleeped out. List the scenes that you want edited. All live, all while it's streaming to you, it will cut out the adult language, it'll cut out the sex, it'll cut out the nudity. Then when you're done, you sell the movie back for $19. What? So essentially, you've rented the movie for $1 and gotten to watch it fully edited. But not only edited, but edited by your choosing. Huh. And if you like it and you don't want to send it back, they'll mail you the movie for $20.
That's a great service and offer. Wow, that's cool. I
like I said, I haven't tried it, but my friend who did try it really said it was pretty darn amazing.
See, I would while you're describing it at first, before you said the money part, I'd be like, yeah, I'll buy a movie for $20, and I would just edit the crap out of it and make it just a horrible film, and then show it to my family. Like, oh yeah, this is the one everybody was talking about. I don't know why you like it. You know, just like cut out major plot parts. You know, just to have fun with it and see right. What they think.
Right. Well, I'll say Mark said. Not a lot of things are family friendly. Mark is way too nice. Virtually nothing is family friendly. YouTube Kids is still not family friendly. If you install YouTube Kids on anything, I implore you to go look at it and just search for the word educational.
Yeah.
And you'll see ain't no friendly content in that frigging app. Just to have a quote unquote, and I hate using these stupid words, but to have a safe space where you know you can have something, buy something essentially for $1. Really, you're making a $20 investment and get $19 back. And then you can say, well, I'm okay with, you know, damn and this and that, but I'm not okay with this per child. And then say, okay, here's your movie, watch it. That, whoever did this deserves, I hope, a long, illustrious business career, because that is frigging genius as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that the owning it part is how they get around with DRM. They can't edit somebody's movie, but you can edit a movie you own. So they're just providing a service for editing movies that you own, and then you sell it back. A la, what was it, the CD store that used to buy CDs back?
Record and Tape Traders?
That's not the
Razor
one.
Razor Replay?
Okay. Does, anyway. Going back to 1980.
I'm trying to remember.
Video games, et cetera.
Called in
it was Clarks. It was a big deal because Garth Brooks wouldn't do business with him. CD Warehouse, that was it. Oh. Because
Garth who? Oh, sorry. Is he even around anymore? I mean, yeah.
He went into retirement and then came back out of retirement.
Yeah. And here's like a good example. If you look at The Big Short, it's like their fourth or fifth screenshot. The Big Short filters enabled 48 out of 231 running time, 2 hours, 10 minutes, running time with filters, 2 hours, 9 minutes. You're losing less than a full minute of content by getting rid of 48 out of 231 items, things.
But I'm sure if they did Game of Thrones, it would be a lot less.
It'll be a 30-second show.
But that was one of the things on the list. So it's not just movies, but also TV shows. Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Band of Brothers. They're all on there. So I'm not sure how big their library is. But anyway, like I said, I haven't tried it, but it comes recommended to me from somebody I trust.
Well, this is a good one.
It looks like they could say 1,200 titles, but they've got quality over quantity here. I mean,
yeah,
the stuff that they offer is pretty good.
Oh yeah, I'm seeing some very good named content here. And again, it's VidAngel, all one word, VidAngel, T for team, completely free to download and play with. So you don't have to pay anything until you actually want to watch something.
Thanks for reminding me. I've been wanting to see The Big Short. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. This is a great find. This is a fantastic.
It's just renting a movie for a buck, even if you don't edit it. That's a win right there.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, here's a perfect example. Google I.O., a category they're missing. I'm sorry. Family app. What's the family app of the year? Because right now, I can tell you, this is the kind of thing, it's in the lead. You bet your money on this one, you're probably not going to win a lot of money because this thing is genius.
Yep.
Genius.
Yeah, these guys, I hope these guys go far with this thing.
All right, so I sort of cut into you there while you were doing your Vudu. Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Vudu works. Vudu's good. Let me take a quick peek. I'm going to bring this one just because it's nerdy. It's called Science Journal. This is a official Google app. And the only way I can explain this is if your kid is interested in knowing and understanding some of the basics that people do when they're in science, when they're doing science, when they're doing experience, they're taking readings, they're taking measurements, this pretty much kind of, in a way, turns your phone into a Star Trek tricorder. Is, to be honest, the best example I can come up with, where it can record and display movement in graph forms. It can display audio noise. It can display in graph form, again, light information. There's a whole bunch of different things this can record. And this really is not a quote-unquote, no scientist is going to say, hey, Clark, do me a favor, go get the Science Journal and bring it over to me, please. Oh, sorry. No, this is for kids to learn and understand some of the basics involved with measurements and units and displaying and graphing and accelerometers and light joules and all that kind of thing. So I thought this was a utterly cool thing for at least children. I showed it to my son. Unfortunately, I had to sit down and explain to him what it was because he just looked at it like, this is stupid, Dad.
Your son and I have a lot in common. I installed this and I felt exactly the way he did. I was like, I need Dor to explain this.
One of the comments, this app is like porn for engineers. That says it all.
I'll go for that. Okay, I'm going to bring one more stupid thing out there. And this is, honestly, I'm sorry to say, guys, I think this is a stupid thing. But my kid found some genuine enjoyment with it. My kid is into Minecraft, period. He's into the idea of crafting. He's creeper and building and exploring kind of thing, but he likes the idea of crafting. This app is from Play Apps Inc. E for everyone, completely free to download. There is some kind of in-app purchase. It's called Invention City. It's kind of like an invention simulator on rails. And what I mean by that is you start a level and there's a given number of things around you that you can combine to try to make something new. So it's, to me, it's kind of like almost like a mental exercise of crafting, because you can take I'm trying to think of what it was like a string, a cloth, and sticks, and you can make a kite. You're crafting. You're using things around you to make other things. I thought this was at least a little bit interesting. My son did get some time out of it. He seemed interested. I'm not going to say he thought it was great, fantastic, or cool, but he was at least interested by it. If you want to check out what kind of inventions, quote unquote, you can make, right around you as a kid or for a kid. Invention City, I think, is a nice free and G clean way for the kid to maybe have some fun.
My personal favorite part about it is the English text. After clear all stages, you can invent own invention in the your lab.
Mm. Ooh, that's painful.
Is that Ingress or is that Chinglish?
English, Chinglish, yeah. Either works either way.
Ooh, man, that's painful. That's literally painful to read in my eyes. I mean, I know I'm suffering from, you know, some ADHD, but damn.
I bought a new keyboard recently, and the instructions on the back made me laugh. Let's see if I can see. Warn prompt. Such as the keyboard does not work properly, please enter reinstall or replacement battery and press and make sure are aligned.
That's great. I love Whoa. That stuff, Mark. I've got a whole museum of that in my house. That's my porn.
And on that note, there's the title of the show. Nah. That's my porn.
Noted.
Sure. Hey, I got one more thing. Unless we're done. There's these things called live cases. Did you see this at Google I.O.? If you have a 5X or a 6P, you can get these cases with whatever picture you want on them. You take your own photos. And then, so the back of your case, and then you can have a matching background screen. Like I get the pod, like I got the pod nuts, you know, home background screen, you know, whatever they call it on Android, splash screen. Anyway, you can get that on the back of your case. So your phone looks totally, you know, cool with something you like. But then inside that case, there's NFC paths. So you can open up your Voxer app. If you like, you can have it customized. So if you make a V on the back of your phone, it'll open Voxer without you even having to do anything on the front of the phone.
Okay, well, your figure's not NFC.
Well, I don't know if it's NFC. It's some kind of a thing.
It communicates with the phone via NFC. The case and the phone communicate via NFC.
Okay.
You got programmable shortcut buttons in your case.
Well, see, I'll say this. I despise the idea of when your screen off drawing shapes to do things. Because that's one of the features that the OnePlus One had that I immediately disabled, because once in a while I would pull the phone out of my pocket and the flashlight would be on.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I could see that happening.
So if that happens, I don't like it. If that doesn't happen, cool. That is cool. I will say I did buy a product. I got an email last week from them apologizing that they haven't shipped it out yet. When we were on our way to Northwest Linux Fest, Eric, Chuck showed, I believe they were called, Triggers. It was basically a little thin sticker you put on the back of your phone.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Two or four buttons on it. I bought the one with four buttons on it. So on the back of my phone, I'm going to have four little buttons that I can basically press and have custom combinations of events or applications triggered by those buttons. I love the idea of adding buttons to a phone. I like them a little bit more than the case idea, because the case only fits one device. And True. The buttons, technically, I could put on a different phone.
As long as the sticky re-sticks to something, then. Is that what you're saying?
Or you really enjoy gently scraping and using crazy glue, yes. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, who knows? You might get sick of the same case, too, for your phone. Even though I've been using this one. This was an AMC Review Trader one, Mark. It's a Saito, and I've had a few, and this is my favorite one still. It's like the second one I got for it.
Cool. I like Saito cases, Saito, whatever. They've been my favorite cases.
Yeah, I like it because I've got my metal plates in there, and it doesn't affect it at all. Most of the other ones, it's like the metal case, the metal plates for my magnet mounts everywhere, just bulge it out a little bit too much, but it works perfectly in this one.
Okay. I think we're done.
Wrap it up.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. This is the part of the show where I tell you how you can throw money at Door's feet. Go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and make money happen. Go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Make your regular Amazon purchases, and they throw a small percentage of it at Door. He deserves your money. He needs your money. You don't need a GoFundMe. Just GoFund him.
And I'll say we've had a drop-off of nearly 40% in the last couple months with Amazon. So when you go to that podnuts.com/Amazon, it says a cookie that I believe lasts for 30 or 60 days. It's obvious some people have not been there in a long time. So I'll just ask you, if you can, you're going to go to Amazon, you're going to buy an Echo, or you're going to buy a new Raspberry Pi case, or you're going to buy a roll of toilet paper.
Or you're going to buy a pool cover. Because it's summer.
A pool cover. If you could please go to podnuts.com/Amazon, I will be immensely, immensely thankful.
And
it adds up more than you realize.
Yeah. I wanted to throw this out there. I don't know if you saw it, Mark, but Eric Matar Hurlbutt was our last Patreon contributor. So we thank you, Eric. Nice name, nice pledge. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I forgot that. It should have been, I should have led the show. I buried the lead with that. All right, so this is goodbye for me for a little while. I look forward to coming back, but I know these guys are going to be awesome as they were before I got here and as they will continue to be after I'm gone. We'll see you next time because that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.